So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Another lawsuit filed in the quest for athletes and their parents and coaches to try to get high school sports started here in Illinois. We've talked a lot about this on the show. Whether you think it's a good idea or not, you hear what's happening here. You've, like all opening decisions that we've seen during COVID, they're trying to do this risk-benefit analysis. Is the benefit worth the risk? And how do we determine what to do? Now, on the sports players' side, the high school sports players' side, they say that all the rest of the Midwestern states, that they figured it out. Why can't we? And now, they, you know, the governor has said it's just too risky. This will cause the virus to spread. It's not worth it. They are, you know, they're making a lot of arguments. And today, another lawsuit. Before I get to that discussion, I just want to mention this story in the Tribune today. Don't know if you saw this. Youth hockey in Illinois has been frozen by COVID-19 restrictions, and some parents are saying it's time for a thaw. That's the headline there in the Tribune. It says Governor J.B. Pritzker often says he's listening to the experts about which youth sports are safe to play during the COVID-19 pandemic, but when some hockey parents filed a public records request to learn what those experts were telling him, they received a pile of emails in which almost everything was blacked out. Tough to tell what the science was there so that they just understood it. And I know the governor has not exactly been entirely open about that when reporters were asking him about it in a news conference recently last week. He sort of walked away and said, I've talked about that enough. That's it. If they have information, says one parent, that says youth hockey is high risk because of A, B, and C, that's what we're looking for. We just want to understand. I'm a reasonable person, Kelly Quinn says. She's a Glenview parent of four hockey-playing kids and the head of a group called Restore Youth Hockey. So she was wondering what is the discussion here? What is it about? Why? What is the science here that's saying it? And some would say, well, it's just that kids are too close together and these are high-contact sports. But another lawsuit was filed today, and there was another protest, this one, outside Pritzker's home in the Gold Coast, in fact, from student-athletes and their parents, and some, a few of them, are filing a class-action lawsuit right now regarding the cancellation of fall sports. And so they're trying to get this temporary restraining order against the state and the order to cancel fall sports. This is not the first lawsuit, is it, Dave Ruggles? We've talked to you throughout all this. Tell us what's going on.
How you doing, Anna? Thanks for having me.
Sure, absolutely. So this one is a new one, and I last time I talked to you, it didn't seem as if there was a lot of back and forth between the governor and the IHSA and you. It just seemed as if you're trying to state your case, and that sort of seems like a door slammed shut.
Yeah, we're there's a couple different tiers to this thing. I mean, the premise of the lawsuit is that the IHSA did not follow their bylines. And went outside of that. They didn't get their members to vote when they switched seasons from the fall to the spring. So it's a little bit of a technicality, but it should be, it's a temporary restraining order, and we actually think it's a slam dunk. The goal is going to be to get it back to the original schedule, and then it kind of puts the ball in everybody's court to see if they can work something out. Now the IHSA, Craig Anderson has stated, he's the head of the IHSA, he stated that he wants and is ready to get back to fall sports, and he thinks he can get that done. The real obstacle in this case is Governor Pritzker. And, you know, from our vantage point, and I talked to you about this when I was on the show last time, you know, it's not just sports, it's education. They're kind of intertwined. You look at the poorest among us in the inner cities, they're not in school, they're not playing sports. They're out on the street. They're getting lost. They're losing opportunities, perhaps, from sports to get out of the situation they're in. Nobody's advocating for them. There's really is very little to no risk for kids statistically from this virus. The premise that they are going to spread it because they're playing sports ignores the fact that they're already doing that across state lines, and they're doing it within their own communities. It's just kind of turning a blind eye to the reality on the ground. And we're hoping that this lawsuit kind of makes everybody sit down and use a little common sense for a change of pace. Take a look at the data that's available in neighboring states. I mean, you don't have to speculate what's going to happen here. All you have to do is look at Indiana. And Indiana's positivity rate is about 3.9%, and that's where it's been pretty consistently since the middle of July. They're wide open now, school and sports. They've been at football for 6 weeks. There hasn't been the spike. You know, and I think they understand in Indiana that the positivity rate is one metric to use, but ultimately, who's sick? Who's getting sick? Who's hospitalized? That's the number that, that really moves the needle. And you know, you look at the college kids going back. I mean, there's statistics where 49,000 college kids were tested positive, two of them hospitalized. I mean, one is too many, but we also have to be realistic and make sure that we're not punishing 350,000 kids or whatever it is that play IHSA sports, you know, to protect a very small subset of our society. We need to do what we can to protect them, but then we need to also understand that the emotional toll, the depression, the anxiety, and those kinds of factors with these kids are off the charts right now. Teen suicides are up, you know, significantly. And these are all byproducts of this lockdown, both because of school and sports. And it just, it's not working. It's not a system that's working, and it's hurting the least fortunate amongst us.
So one of the things I saw, if I'm not mistaken, from this lawsuit, Dave, was the idea that they are missing out on college recruitments and college scholarships and that there's real money and real opportunities attached to that sort of thing. But you called it a legal slam dunk. What have the lawyers told you about that? Why do they believe that?
Well, they didn't follow their bylaws, and they have to do that. And so, you know, again, it should be pretty straightforward. I mean, you know, anything could happen, but we feel very good about the case itself. You know, the law scholarships, if you think about football, if you're going to give a football scholarship to somebody, you're offering somebody essentially $150,000 to $200,000 free education. You want to make sure you pick the right player. Are they going to offer it to somebody that they have game film on, or are they going to offer it to somebody who they've got film of out in the cornfield running pass patterns with one other person and a mask on? You know, it's not going to come to the kids in Illinois, and that we know for a fact that that's dried up. If you look at other sports like soccer and volleyball, some of those kids can play club. They're already doing it. They're doing it across the state lines. So, again, you're asking them to go across the state lines to play in these events where maybe the mitigation and the cleaning and that kind of thing is not as regulated as it would be in a school setting. And the school settings are where the kids are safest. So we need to acknowledge that this is already happening. People are not locking down and quarantining. And we need to have a real world approach to solving this problem. Let's figure out how to keep the people who are at risk safe, and let's not make the youngest generation in our country shoulder the burden of this entire thing themselves. I mean, what parent would not sacrifice everything for their kid? We're asking the kids to sacrifice everything, essentially for the grandparents. And I would argue, you ask the grandparents, is that what they want? I think you probably would have a majority that would say no. So, I mean, what are we doing?
I wonder about that. Call in if you have thoughts about this, 312-981-7200. Dave, I want to ask you about something else, too, because you mentioned recruiting, and that if those recruiters are now saying, oh, I only have film on somebody running in a field with one other guy, are the recruitment folks from colleges and universities, or and even pros, I suppose, are they taking into account that that's not the reality everywhere, or do you just feel it's an uneven playing field?
Well, it is an uneven playing field, and they're taking into account. Remember, their job depends upon how well they recruit and how well they do. Do they win? So if you're going to go see a kid in Indiana or Iowa play, or Michigan, or any other Midwest state in the country other than Illinois, if you're going to go watch that kid play, you can see with your own eyes what he can do. Versus Illinois, where it's all theoretical, really. You know, game film from a year ago is irrelevant right now. Kids get stronger, they get faster, whatever the case is. So it's just a risk-reward on the coach's standpoint. They're not going to step out for an Illinois kid if they see an Indiana kid that's similar that they've seen with their own eyes. And so it is really hurting the people in this state. And like I said, it's really hurting especially the people who use that as their ticket maybe out of a bad situation.
Dave, can you hang on a second? We're going to go to the phones in just a minute here, but I have to just pause for a second here. Stay around. Okay, stick around with us. We're going to go to the phones, 312-981-7200. Tell us your thoughts about this. Where are you on this whole idea? It seems that there are more and more voices growing louder asking the governor to please consider some way to proceed with fall sports. Right now, the answer has been a firm no on that. Talking about high school sports, should they proceed in Illinois? Doesn't sound like there's a lot of back and forth between the IHSA and parents and student athletes and that kind of thing, or the governor yet. But there's a new lawsuit filed, and my guest, Dave Ruggles, has said it's a slam dunk. We'll see. I suppose we'll know that pretty soon here, Dave. I want to get to you in just a second, but did get a couple texts earlier that I want to mention. I was talking about outdoor heaters and how they're so hard to find, and how when I called the Home Depot and asked for one, if they had one of those standing outdoor heaters, they're like, kind of laughed at me and said, like, we sold out of those like 3 weeks ago. Good luck. A couple of 847 found a stand-up outdoor patio heater last week at a fireplace store. You kind of got to think out of the box. Smiley face wink. 773, OfferUp. So many fire pits for sale. I'm not familiar with OfferUp, but that's something to check out. Thank you for that. Dave, we're going to, let's go to the phones here, and then we'll hear back from you. Dave Ruggles is our guest talking about the, he's trying to get high school sports back in business, back, let us play as part of the movement, hashtag let us play. He wants them back. New lawsuit filed, and Tom, let's hear from you on this. What are you thinking as you hear about this?
Hi, Anna. Hi, hey. Dave. Hey, I want to totally agree with you. From the get-go, back in March, I said this was a bad strain of flu. Okay, we did not know too much about it. I understand the lockdown and close down, but now we have a lot more knowledge. And when you mentioned the depression and the anger, these are kids. They're going to get through it. A small percentage of the people that get this are going to have problems. And then an even smaller percentage of those are going to die. We can't turn the world upside down like we are doing. We've got to open things up.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for that call. I'm sure you agree with that, Dave. It's something that folks are saying they feel, even though we are getting texts that say, you know, look, you still create a spread. One of the things the governor's spokesperson said, and again, haven't been very vocal about this in recent weeks, haven't really taken a lot of questions or responded. And you heard what they did with the hockey mom. They sent back they wanted to explain the science of what their reasoning, where their reasoning came from, and they kind of got a blacked out record that kind of didn't say much of anything at all. But here's the last thing they were on record saying. They asked to justify the ban on contact sports, and they said, well, there's an exchange of sweat, saliva, and other things that are going on, along with a potential lack of social distancing in locker rooms. I just talked to a swimming parent at ETHS over the weekend, and she said her daughter doesn't even get to go in the locker room. They make them show up suited up, ready to go, and I think that you'd probably do the same thing with other sports. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, first of all, there's no data that shows that it spreads, you know, playing sports. In fact, there's data that says the contrary. So I just think it's maybe some people who are in charge who never played competitive sports and don't really have any idea what they're talking about. For whatever reason, he's decided, you know, and I say he, Governor Pritzker, has decided that he's smarter than the surrounding Midwest state governors. And I don't necessarily agree with that, but I'm not here to get into that argument. But I just think, you know, if you've got science, you're looking at it one way. People in other states are looking at it another way, and they're surviving. I mean, if there was widespread transmission in sports, Indiana's positivity rate would be twice what it is right now. You know, and I mean, there's other things with the positivity rate, Anna, that people don't even know. Like, for example, my son caught it. He goes to school in Iowa. He stayed in Iowa because he's a senior, but because he lives in Wheaton, a positive test result comes back to DuPage County.
Yeah, I wondered about that.
The positivity rate is garbage. If you're counting somebody who stayed in Iowa as a positive case here, and you're using your decisions, you're basing your decisions on that number.
Yeah.
I mean, does that make sense?
No, I don't think it does make sense. Dave, I want to take some calls here, so listen in and keep us posted on your efforts. I'm thankful you made time for us today, and I know you've been fighting this for a while, and we'll continue doing that. So thanks for letting us know your perspective.
Thanks for having me, Anna. I appreciate it. Sorry about that.
You too, Dave. Have a good afternoon. Let's go to Barbara. I think you have a question here, but go ahead, Barbara. You have a thought or question or what's on your mind?
I have a little bit of both.
Okay.
Governor Pritzker says no fall sports and stuff like that, which I can understand, but yet they don't enforce it because at my granddaughter's school and most of the high schools around Illinois, they have practices, tryouts. The clubs have practices, tryouts. So doesn't that defeat everything? I'm totally confused about it.
My feeling is that what I've been told before is that the practices are very socially distanced, which you can't necessarily do with the actual game. please call in if that is not true, but that is what my understanding has been. Barbara, let's go to a couple other of these calls here, and I appreciate you calling in to WGN. We'll try to get that answered for you. Let's see. We've got Tim. I think that you may not be in agreement with all this. You may be more on the side of the governor here. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm on the side of the governor. This pandemic, we still don't know enough about it. There are kids that are dying from it. There are adults dying from it. Your gentleman earlier, I guess Dave is his name, says that, oh, yeah, you know, these people don't, the grandparents and stuff like that don't want to, don't care if their kids play or that or bring it home to them. But when they start dying, I know I've worked with a lot of the high schools and the booster clubs and stuff like that. These parents will be the first ones to start suing the school districts going, you should have prevented this. And it's a bad situation for everybody. I really understand that, but I don't think they're ready to go back yet.
You say
really
no,
don't.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Thank you, Tim. Let's go to Myrna. You agree with Tim? Myrna, are you in the same? You feel like we're not ready to do this yet?
Yes, I agree with the gentleman that was just on, but the other gentleman made my blood pressure rise. I think we can be thankful we have Governor Pritzker. If it hadn't been for him, things Illinois would have been a lot worse. He's done a lot for us. I live in Illinois, and they're, you know, well, we know how strict he is. But my daughter and her family live in Indiana, and they went back to school about 3 weeks ago, and granddaughter's on the soccer team. They've had practice since the middle of July. And now my grandson was home from college, and my daughter called me and said, I'm sorry, you probably wondered why we didn't invite you over, but she said, we're in isolation. And I said, what?
What?
Yeah, one of the girls on the team came down with it and earlier in the week, and she played soccer for a little bit on Thursday, and Friday my granddaughter and the whole soccer team plus anybody else who was close to her got sent home because she's got it.
Yeah, and then you see that's the issue, is if that child lives with an elder grandparent or something like that, that's, or somebody vulnerable at all. You worry about it. The risk, there are real risks here. There's no doubt about it. Nobody can deny that. Thank you, Myrna, for the call. I want to ask Gia. Gia, you're on.
They got a really.
1 second here. Gia, let's hear from you. You're on WGN.
Hi.
Hey.
So just to put everything in perspective, do you remember 2009 H1N1 swine flu?
Sure, of course.
What happened? If you look at the CDC website, 500,000 people died in the United States. 500,000 people. Most of them was young kids and young adults. Did not affect older people very little. The illness was very steady. There was no different factors like COVID. Like some people get really sick. Some people get very mild symptoms. Nobody did anything at all. In Europe, it was pandemic. Who called that pandemic? It was my sister lived there. The schools were closed for 2 months.
Yeah. And so, this is different, though, Gia. Gia, I don't know if you knew someone affected by H1N1. I did not. I think I know a lot of people who are affected by this. This has certainly come to this country with a greater force, I would say. But we're going to look up the stats you just cited and try to just make sure that that's the case. I want to go to Steve here. We have time for one more call. And Steve, how do you feel about this whole thing?
Yes, I feel like this. I feel like the whole world, this is an unsustainable way of life. Our world has been turned upside down. I don't want to see anybody die, but I think from the very beginning, way too many have been overreacting. The news is selling it hard. 6 million people die in the world every year, and there's vaccine for these three. The flu, pneumonia, and tuberculosis. And we don't do this. But not only do I think the student athletes in high school and in college are being cheated out of their school years, but I also think all the kids going to school are also being cheated. Kids aren't going to learn like they can learn in class. Kids need to be in a classroom. There's so much fallout from what's going on right now, It's crazy. Yeah. Personally, I think it's a great big huge lie. For whatever the reason, we don't know yet.
Steve, what do you?
Wait, stop!
You just said a very controversial thing. You think what's a big lie? You don't think COVID is real?
The whole thing. I think it's a very real thing. I think it's been blown out of proportion. That's the lie part.
Right.
And because of that, people, you can't sustain this way of life. People are going to lose their jobs, lose their homes. Kids aren't going to school. You can't even go to a church anymore without making a reservation.
Thank you, Steve, for that call. I just have a few seconds left here. You know, I feel as if that's, I kind of led into this saying it's sort of a risk-benefit analysis, and so many of these things are. Some are falling on the side of trying to protect folks and just be extra cautious. And you're right. There are real consequences to that. We've discussed some of them, depression and economic consequences for sure. And then others are saying, let's open up and see we can do this. We can try to crack down on the worst offenders and see if we can move forward and allow some of these things to happen. You're seeing that in Indiana right now as it's wide open. More to come here on WGN. And we'll be sure to pick up this conversation. We're going to go right back to the phones here. We've been talking about high school sports. Should they reopen? But I have a little thing to sweep up here. We had a caller earlier who mentioned that this is just like H1N1. We had 500,000 people die from that. We fact-checked that. Not quite true. While the U.S. did have a lot of cases back in 2009, 2010, that full year period, 60 million cases. There were 12,000 deaths recorded in the United States. We're already past the 200,000 threshold here 6 months in. So just want to say that. To sort of clean that up, because I did not know the numbers. It just didn't seem right, but we looked that up for you. We're going to talk about high school sports here. A couple of texts first, and then we'll go to the phones. Does the governor plan to keep schools and sports closed until there's a vaccine? The rules are not going to be followed by a lot of people, and unless he has a plan to get these metrics down further, we need to move on. 708, if bars and restaurants are open, then so should athletics. They should be open. The governor's willing to risk illness for bars, but not for sports. Sounds like revenue is a factor. The latest announcement was from the mayor, I believe, on the city opening up bars and restaurants with higher capacity. 708, I'm a grandmother. I do not want to get COVID and possibly die because of your kids needing a touchdown. Susan from Crestwood. And then on the comment about COVID is not real, 630, COVID is real. Talk to hospital workers and from Lombard, and we have many times on this program and what they've seen and the kinds of work that they have had to do during all this, substituting not only as healthcare workers and doing the job they normally do with a virus that they've learned about and have continued to learn about little by little over 6 months. They've also served as a makeshift family member trying to hold their hand for people who are suffering, and I just feel for them and thank all of our healthcare workers for what they have been doing. But let's go back to the phones and talk about sports here. Jim. Oh, no, Jen. I'm sorry. Jen, you're on WGN. What's going on?
Hi. Hi. How are you?
All right, Jen. How you doing?
Yeah,
what's your thoughts?
I am good. I am 1,000% ready for our kids to go back to sports and school. You know, not only the scholarship losses that they're getting exposed to, but also the depression, the anxiety, the drug abuse. Suicides are up almost 200%. I mean, something's got to give. We can't expect these kids to stay home, have no friends, no socialization, and no outlet in sports, which is what it gives to my kids. I have a sophomore football player and a junior volleyball player. I mean, they need this. It's just human for them to get out. As for contamination to older people, there hasn't been one case in the United States where any child has gotten infected from a teacher or a teacher to a child. And there's one case in the entire state of Illinois of a child who has died with or of COVID. I mean, the risks just aren't there for our children. But the terrible side effects are what's going to end up, you know, being the demise of this generation.
Sounds like you're hearing it as a parent of sports. I want to get to some more calls. Thanks for that one, Jen. I appreciate it. Jim, you're on WGN.
Yep, thanks.
Thanks, Jen. Go ahead, Jim.
You got me, Jim Palatine?
Yes, you, Jim and Palatine.
Okay.
You're up. What do you got?
Okay.
What do you got to say?
Okay, I'm listening to these people. This last lady said is pure nonsense, exaggeration. I'll tell you something. They're talking about people moving to Indiana because they're opening up and they can play football. Well, 2 weeks ago, they canceled two high school football games because the kids on the team contacted the virus. Also, Indiana University, this was about a month ago, freshman offensive tackle got the virus, was on a ventilator for 2 weeks, and his mother was on TV, came across and said he got out of the hospital, but he was left with an enlarged heart, which is not common with this virus. and you're stuck with that for the rest of your life. And then there's another quarterback from Georgia State University who got the virus in the hospital, got out, enlarged heart. It, that's serious stuff. I had a godson who passed away from a enlarged heart. This is 2005, not to do with the virus. But that enlarged heart is serious stuff. He was a Harvard graduate, Notre Dame Law School graduate, and he had a heart attack, and he did the autopsy, enlarged heart. Yeah. These people, this disease, leaves, you listen to these scientists, residual effects. You may recover from it, the young people, but it can leave a damage your liver or your kidneys and stuff like that.
You just don't know, right, Jim? I mean, that's the thing. You're pointing out something that the doctors have pointed out repeatedly, and I thank you for your call, is that the lingering effects, there's not that much known yet, and that even unhealthy people, they've said they've found brain fog and some of these issues with heart and breathing difficulties just doing normal activities. You're right. It's not something to be toyed with. It is something that's very real. And again, we don't know everything about it yet. I think that some parents are saying that they feel as if we know enough about it to reopen the sports at the high school level. One of the biggest arguments I've heard against that is because the testing is not so widely available. You look at college sports and they're doing these mass testing things. At U of I's got this great new quick response test, COVID test that they developed right there at the university. And so that is very available. Is it available at the high school level? And what does that mean if it's not? I know that we saw here, 630 says, let's see Indiana's numbers in the first 2 weeks of October, and that is when the K-12 spike should hit. If it doesn't, open it up. If it does, shut it all down. Candace, you've been waiting for a while, and thank you for that. What's on your mind?
Hi. I think it's time the kids start being a priority instead of a fearful baby boomers who are mostly obese who have died of this disease, and also very old. To me, I've heard a lot of reporters talk about this. I've been very involved in this. And, I mean, one of the reporters accidentally let it slip, or it was a doctor, and he said basically kids can't get this because they have a protein that protects them against that. Well, that would be pneumonia. So it seems like this disease is very similar to pneumonia, and, you know, it's affecting only the very old and very sickly to begin with. And then, you know, we have to shut down everything because if those people are fearful, well, enough is enough. The kids have been through enough, and they don't get it. And if you are afraid, then you need to stay home with your little mask.
In your house. I sense a little, you're very frustrated with this whole thing. I can tell.
I think people have the right to be frustrated.
Yeah. No, I believe that. I absolutely believe that by now, 6 months later, there are real consequences from a shutdown.
And there's already data. So we need to stop hearing, accept this. Oh, well, we just wait. No, Europe is already back. In Europe also, the kids are in sport. So we have data, but what we have is a politicized bunch of hacks who don't want to listen to the data because they want to manipulate it for their means. It's disgusting.
Thank you, Candace. I appreciate your call. And, we're going to have some medical experts on this week too, because I think it's worth circling back to some of the latest data, the latest research. Again, risk benefit analysis. We all know this is real. We all know who it affects the most. We all know that kids by and large are not the ones getting the worst cases, but, older kids, college age kids can be spreaders, high school ones even too. So there have to be precautions. Can we all agree with that? Can we all agree with that? Does that mean that sports should be shut down? I think a lot of eyes will be on neighboring states because all Midwestern states have figured out a plan on how to do this, how to go forward with high school sports. They're figuring it out. And should we do that too? I'm hearing, you've heard all sides of this. There are folks who are very worried about this, especially if you're vulnerable and you're thinking about anybody who is. You're thinking about the lingering effects of this, the long-term effects of this on kids. There are parents who are making their kids do all e-learning right now because they just aren't sure, and they're very concerned about it. And I think all those opinions are absolutely legitimate. Wes, let's hear from you. You're on WGN.
Hi, Anna. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. If I had kids, I would not want them playing sports right now. My wife and I have recovered from the virus. Thank God we had a mild case. But it really feels like it stole maybe a month and a half, kind of up our lives away. And it didn't need to happen. And we're young, we're healthy other than this virus, and it just just doesn't seem worth it.
Yeah.
I know it's really hard. I love sports, played sports growing up, and it really sucks, but yeah, I just don't see how it's worth it.
Wes, can I ask you, because the subject just came up about lingering effects, are you feeling those things when you just run up the stairs or do those minor things, you're out of breath or that brain fog or some of those other things that folks talk about? I mean, and separate from that, because I get brain fog all the time and I have not had COVID to my knowledge.
yeah. So the brain fog, we feel like has finally gone away in the past week or two. You know, there are better days and worse days. I'm definitely feeling that, you know, just like picking up heavy objects for work and stuff, that it tires me out a lot quicker. Some loss of breath. My wife is doing much better. So it just hits every person differently. And you just don't know.
Thank you for sharing the story, Wes. I appreciate hearing from folks who've been through it, just a reminder of different age groups and what it's actually like. So thank you for that call.
You're welcome. Thank you, Anna.
Absolutely. Matt, let's hear from you here on this. I think you're going to be the last word here before we have to pause, and then we've got some other stuff to talk about. But go ahead, Matt. What do you have to say?
Oh, goody, last word. Hi, Anna. Happy Monday.
Happy
glad
Monday.
Everything's so normal. I'm glad everything's so normal and nobody's getting upset over anything.
Never a day goes by. Go ahead.
I would like to respond to Candace. First of all, Candace, hi. I do agree with you that this is being politicized. However, Europe and other countries are back because they do not have countries that bungled the response to this virus so badly that 200,000 people are dead. Now, you're wondering, well, that probably didn't affect you. Well, Candace, let me tell you, it did. My cousin is dead because of the coronavirus. My friend, one of my best friends, currently has the coronavirus. And I have an uncle who actually was the father of the cousin. He had the coronavirus. Somehow he managed to survive, and he was much older than my cousin. And to be quite frank, his mother had the coronavirus because they both got it from him. And somehow she survived, but he did not. Not saying that I wouldn't want my aunt to live, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's...
So, Candace, the next time you want to point fingers at someone, please, do me a favor. Send your kids to school.
Yeah, I think
send your kids out to play sports. And then tell me that everybody's just fudging the statistics and it's disgusting and blah, blah, blah. Because people are still dying.
Yeah. No, there's no question, Matt. And that it's a very powerful story when you hear from somebody who actually has gone through that. And I'm sorry your family has. You know, this is the bottom line here. I mean, it is real. People are dying. There's no doubt about it. You look at different European countries, they handled it differently. Sweden stayed largely open and protected vulnerable people. Italy closed down and went through, you know, they had mayors going through the towns and telling people to get indoors, get out, you're not allowed outside. And there was a strict crackdown that was strictly enforced. Several European countries even said that it was a crime and arrested people. South Korea was in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend for having an stellar record on how they handled this whole thing, and yet they track your data, they track your cell phones, they track your health records, and they used also some pretty serious enforcement techniques that I don't think that we were willing or able to do here. I said Matt was the last word, but I do want to just mention this one more, 847. This was it's a pretty powerful text here. Best friend and grandma just tested positive after family got together with the college football and high school playing with their kids who play those sports in college and high school, I guess. She put off the test because she didn't want to have to blame it on her grandkids, but it turns out that that was the trace. She has it. She's struggling in more ways than one.